This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Now that's blasphemy, because it wasn't insanely like that.
That's just the only drop we had to make fun of it.
Yeah, it was probably brilliant. I couldn't tell you, though, because you just started going off on some tangent. And Harry's sitting there going, yup, yup, like you're agreeing with you, Harry Douglas. And I'm sitting there feeling like I'm in a conversation between two people that are talking a different language. I have no idea what they're saying. And I'm just nodding my head like an idiot going, oh, yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. Like if somebody came up to me and just said, what were Bart and Harry talking about? I don't know. It sounded really smart, though. But that's what happens when you get like these football savants together and they just start breaking down what we saw last night. What we saw in week one was some spectacular plays, a lot of ineptitude, and missed kicks. Right? Yeah. Like if it's early in the NFL.
Special teams was like not a shiny moment. And those kickers have no excuse because they kick the ball all the time. They practice kicking all the time, one play.
It's not like
going through an entire playbook and understanding the nuance. All they got to do is kick the damn ball,
kick
and they fell flat.
Kick the damn ball. Yes. We are in, by the way, hour number three of Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. And Bart, when it's hour number three.
Oh.
Yeah. What does that mean?
It means, Alan.
Mm-hmm.
It's the power hour, 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 hour. Too sweet to be sour.
We want you to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for your car care needs. They're close, convenient, known for guaranteed everyday low prices. Excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. We'll get perspective from Denver in just a moment, but I mean, we're going to get to this probably a little more in depth, but the head coach of the New York Jets, Robert Saleh, did something yesterday that you're never going to win doing this. And you and I argued about this at the start of the show. It's never the right move. Until you win, it's not the right move to start calling out the naysayers when you've done nothing but produce reasons for there to be naysaying. You don't say anything. You put your head down. You keep working. I've always, like from day one, from his first press conference, I like this guy. I like Robert Saleh. I like him. He's got great energy, positive guy. His background story is great. Easy to root for. But when you do something like you did yesterday in talking to the media, you start losing me. Bart, I'm telling you, it is going to haunt him, what he said. Now, if you missed it, here's just a little tip.
People don't understand is that this was worse than an expansion team when Joe got here, and Joe has done a phenomenal job getting us back to square zero to where we can start building over the last 2 years, and we're going to win. I know we are. It's been fortunate to have been a part of this process for a while. And I just I love the fact that it's in New York where it's the most angry bunch of people and everything is hit the panic button. And when you win, it's everyone's a Super Bowl champ. And it's when you lose, you're an absolute loser. And I love it. I love it. Bring all of it. And for all the people who doubt, just if you want to jump out the boat, jump out. Just don't come back on.
Oh, really?
Every game, when you lose in this league, it's the apocalypse. It's Armageddon. People just want to jump off a bridge for some reason. We're in the instant coffee age, mm-hmm. and it's deserved. That's part of the generation we've grown up in. That's part of what comes with the job, and especially in this market where there's 8 million people crammed in the one corner of the United States, it's going to get people are angry. There's no space to breathe. But at the same time, you know, we do our best to ignore the noise and keep the main thing, which is finding ways to produce. And for all those people, just like I told our beat here about 15 minutes ago, for all those people who continue to talk and to continue to doubt, we're taking receipts. And I can't wait, and I'll speak for the entire organization, to shove it down everyone's throat when it comes around.
Now, that's from his weekly appearance on the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
What did he say wrong? He didn't say that they were wrong for Bourne. He said just he's keeping receipts, and when they make it, and it's good. That's what the motivation is.
What
to
did
take
he
all
say?
The to take all the naysayers and
what
show
did
you
he
guys.
Say?
What do you mean? Like it's easy
Bart.
To jump on a bandwagon or to pat people Bart. On the back when it's already a proven product. They're coming to turn something around and to Bart. Turn something around against.
You know how many times I? You know what I tell you? You know what I tell you that somewhere near a podium. Is a PR guy face palming? Right? How many times was it? Like we saw this in the past. Like we other coaches who talk. Right when Matt Nagy spoke last year, I said that. Like somewhere there's a PR guy just face palming. Like what are you doing?
This is one of those where
you know what? You know what? No. Not everything he said there, I have a problem with.
He did not attack.
But once you start
attack the critics.
What? No. What did he say? Oh, New York, everybody's miserable. Everybody's angry.
Yes.
Everybody's ready to jump off.
Facts.
And you know what? Yes,
real
of course.
Facts.
Because, listen, when you take a job in certain places, you don't just hire and like, hey, whatever happened before me doesn't count. No, it does.
He didn't say
it
that.
It does. You carry the weight of whatever you inherited because
that.
It's a fan base that has been here before you. And they're looking at you and saying, can you be the answer, please? And when you don't give me any type of tangible evidence that you are the difference, I'm going to be frustrated because it's been 10 years since this franchise made a playoff game. 10. And you're going to start telling me about how, oh, everybody just gets so upset. Because it's been 10 freaking years.
So you're
going to play game one in our building. And we're there on 9/11 celebrating a new season.
Right.
And that's how you play. And I'm supposed to just sit back going, well, we got to give him time. Everybody be patient. No patience here.
When you marched off your list, where did the Ravens rank? Oh, okay. So they probably weren't going to win anyway. So like
we thought we were gonna feel a lot better, Bart.
Yeah, we thought we were
he
gonna
beat just
the
said that.
We thought we were gonna beat the Baltimore Ravens week one.
So he should have just said
we knew that was a tough assignment. What he's saying is y'all miserable about everything around here. Miserable because your rent's too high. It ain't got nothing to do with that. I ain't got nothing to do with the damn 10 years. I got here to do what I gotta do now, and I'm building towards that. And if you don't see it, I don't give a damn. Cause guess what? At the end of the day, you can cut me, fire me, whatever you want, I'm gonna get my check. And I'm not concerned with your opinions because they don't matter to me. Because guess what? You know,
if
you know
my opinions
got,
don't matter, then why
matter.
The hell are you addressing them? Why are you
matter.
Keeping receipts? Why keep receipts if my opinion doesn't matter?
Because I'm letting you know. And he wasn't talking to the fans. When he said I'm keeping receipts, he's talking about the Rich Samini's of the world that never had nothing positive to say, that's always lightweight hating, and then you want to come in and get exclusive. Excuse me, can I talk to Quinnen Williams today? No! Excuse me, when we start balling out, can I talk to Zach Wilson so I can try and sell something to Clout Chase and make some money on my radio station or make some money in my paper? No! When I say receipts, that's the receipts I'm talking about. When you want to blatantly hate, don't come back. The same thing I did when they try to put us all on a front paper on the Daily News or the New York Times and call us a bunch of clowns and then want to come back when we start winning and say, hey, can I have an interview? No! That's what I mean. Keep that same energy when we start balling, and you want and you need us because you can't have it both ways. It's one thing to be critical. It's one thing to be a natural born hater and try and make me the butt of your jokes, so that you can get a pat on the back from people. Oh, you hear that funny line? So and so said. Keep that same energy, bro. Because when you need me and you need us in this market, because then we balling. Keep
and
that
same
energy.
That's a good relationship to build that way.
I don't care about my
Mr. Keeping it real.
I don't
Mr. Keeping it real.
I don't care.
You're telling me no. So I can't keep it real now about how I feel about the team. I'm not supposed to keep it real.
No.
When you don't play well and you don't play up to expectations and you make mistakes and you have a statue for a quarterback, and I'm just going to sit back and go, no, I don't want to disrupt because I want an interview in 2 years when they're freaking good again.
People make unnecessary jokes and comments about two teams in sports. The Knicks and the Jets. And
you're right.
It could be a conversation.
And it's well earned.
It could have a conversation. It could be a conversation that has nothing to do with the Jets.
You're
right. And people
are
going to try and make a punchline to the Jets. So keep that same energy. And I don't care. I don't care about – all I care about is the people in the building. Yeah, everybody else is not important to me. So when we start doing it, keep that same energy because you won't be important to me then. It don't matter. I'm winning. He winning. He's a head coach. And he still has an opportunity to turn it around. I'm just letting you know what those comments mean. That's the BS translator. Because at the end of the day, you're insignificant to me. And that's how every athlete feels.
We're going to leave it here. We'll get back to this, and I'm sure we'll get called on as well.
Chad, 888 ESPN. Chad will tell you the same exact thing.
3776. I'll ask him, but again, I'll let the people also call in about this, because if I'm insignificant,
you
then
are.
Why do you even address it? Then why address it?
Because I'm letting you know. Let me just remind you that you're insignificant.
I'll tell you what. If my coverage, and I said this one time when I was covering I covered a team, and they were all about your negative coverage, you know, it's affecting us. I'll tell you what. I'll write everything positive for the rest of the year. And when you win the championship, I get a ring. That's how it works.
You can be critical, but some people go too far. And some people try. It becomes a thing. It becomes a national joke. Right?
I get that.
That's what it is. He's talking to them. No, that's a lot of people. 0.5% of the media. It's a lot of people in our industry it's people in this town that have made a career from just trying to be a punchline and say, oh, the Jets makes me miserable. Joe Beningo's made an entire career off of that crap. If the Jets won, he wouldn't know how to damn act because he wouldn't have nothing to say because he couldn't be funny.
Well, I'll tell you
and
what.
And that's the facts.
One place where there's also now a lot of negative coverage, including headlines from the Denver Post that say Broncos lose to Seahawks because rookie coach Nathaniel Hackett was clueless in Seattle, that he gets an F for his coaching debut and all that other stuff. You mentioned him. Let's bring him in right now as we'll get into last night's game of Monday Night Football. And that's Chad Brown, co-host of Chad and Nate on 104.3, the Fan in Denver. Three-time Pro Bowler, by the way, with the Steelers, Seahawks, Patriots over his 15-year career.
He was a bad man.
I know you had to sit back and listen to a little bit of this conversation. I'm sure you can relate. But let's just get the feeling right now in Denver, with a lot of excitement about this Broncos team and Russell Wilson and everything else, in what was very much a dud debut last night on Monday Night Football.
It really was for Coach Hackett. Obviously, expectations here in Bronco land have been incredibly high ever since Russell Wilson became the quarterback here. Gave him a $245 million five-year extension just a couple of weeks back. So to go to Seattle, this was going to be the coronation of Russell Wilson as the king in Denver. Following up after John Elway and Peyton Manning, Russell Wilson would be the next king. They lay a dud out there in Seattle, and a lot of that had to do with some of Coach Hackett's decisions. Not just the decision to kick the field goal late in the ball game. Brennan McManus, only one of eight from that distance in his career, but also the decision not to go with any of the starters during the preseason or go with any full-speed tackling during training camp. This Bronco team seemed to be unprepared for the moment, and Coach Hackett seemed to be unprepared for the moment as well.
Chad, this is something that's going on around the league. It started with the Rams, who really started doing it. I think they did it in Green Bay. And then we see the sloppy play week one with the field kind of catching up with everybody. Like, would it be an advantage now for teams to play their guys in the preseason so that they can get that chemistry, get off to a fast start? Because at the end of the day, the margin for error for the Denver Broncos are small when you consider the division and what they have to go through. And this game itself could be the reason, if they do turn it around, that they don't get to the postseason, because this is one that they should get when you look at the opponent.
Yeah, I think when you look around the league, the Green Bay model and the Sean McVay model out there in Los Angeles, teams have been kind of following that based on those teams' overall success. But the Rams got beat down by Buffalo on Thursday. Green Bay got destroyed on Sunday. Kansas City and Andy Reid, they played their starters this preseason. And guess what? They went out and played really well. They don't have to play Patrick Mahomes all three games, for a half each game. But Patrick Mahomes, even as great as he is, can benefit from the preseason. So when the Broncos lose a game by 1 point last night, 1 point, Bart, you know this, every football fan knows this, football is a game of inches. Each game comes down to 3, 4, 5 plays max that swing a ball game one way or the other. So when you lose by 1 point, when Coach Hackett said, I don't think my starters would get much out of playing a series or two in the preseason, those words, they come back to haunt you big time.
Hey, maybe those running backs would benefit from getting some contact, some live contact, to be able to hold on the damn football.
I can't believe that. So they didn't have full contact for much of the preseason, much of training camp?
They did not do any full-speed tackling to the ground during training camp.
The
Pittsburgh Steelers, every time they put on pads, Mike Tomlin had that defense tackle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They were practically doing Oklahoma drills to prepare to play football.
Is to play football. This is not basketball on grass. This ain't 7-on-7 anymore.
Yeah,
at some point, The real football starts, and you got to put your face on people and bring them down to the ground. And as a runner, you got to be able to hold the ball when you get contact. So Melvin Gordon, with a history of fumbling, fumbles again down there at the goal line, and you can't help but go, maybe if he had some full-speed contact, he would have had two hands on that ball.
Mike Tomlin took it a step farther. They did. He took it back to Bear Bryant. They were doing Oklahoma drills.
They were.
10 yards apart, get up and roll over, and running backs up. So, I mean, you talk about the difference in philosophies. You know, but when I also talk about difference in philosophies, this defense was once dominant last year under Vic Fangio and what he had built there. I understand that sometimes you can have the same ingredients, same personnel, but it doesn't always yield the same results because of philosophies and defense. You know, what do you think about this defense going forward, and can they fix it?
Well, I think they got better in the second half. Geno Smith had 31 yards passing in the second half. So the Broncos' defense got better. But again, that's another example of, look at your improvement from the first half to the second half. What if you had started the game the same way you started the second half? Because you got some preseason action in. So, you know, here in Denver, folks have been saying, well, is it the players or the coaches? I'm like, well, the players can only be as good as they are coached. The players can only be prepared as they are prepared by the coaches. And if a coach makes a decision, well, I was in Green Bay and we didn't do any full contact and we didn't play our starters in the preseason, and this is the way I'm going to operate here, each situation is different. Each year, you're given a different football team. Heck, each week you kind of got a different football team from one week to the next. And your practice plans can't be based on what you saw in Green Bay. They got to be based on where your team is today. And if this team needs some work, then they get some work. And if they don't, they don't. And clearly, the difference defensively from half one to half two last night shows me that this defense can be good, but they had to work out some kinks. They got that done in the first half, played much better in the second half. So I expect them, with guys like Bradley Chubb and Justin Simmons and Randy Gregory, to be able to be more efficient as the coming weeks go along.
That's Chad Brown, the three-time Pro Bowl linebacker, also co-host of Chad and Nate on 104.3 The Fan in Denver, giving us that perspective from Denver, from the Broncos, and a loss last night that, yeah, it's just an ugly loss. On discipline, some of the penalties too, Chad. I was just shaking my head. I just keep looking at the coach when it comes to how undisciplined they looked, the fumbles, just unprepared, and then obviously, you know, the very last few seconds of the decision-making there. What would you, like, when you were watching it down the stretch there, what would you have done there? Fourth and five, a 64-yard field goal, which is a low percentage, you know, play. What would you want to see them do there?
You've got Russell Wilson. You've given him the keys to the franchise. You've given him all this money. You gave up draft picks. You gave up Shelby Harris. You gave up Drew Locke. You gave up Noah Fant to get this guy in. And suddenly, in this critical situation in the game, you decide to go with the kicker, who's 1 of 8 from that distance. It just doesn't add up to me. You've got fourth and five. You've got Russell Wilson, who is known for his late game, game-winning dramatics, being able to pull a rabbit out of the hat. You give Russell Wilson a run-pass option there. You roll them out. You stack a couple of receivers at different routes. One of those guys is open. You throw it. If not, you hope Russell Wilson, your franchise quarterback, can pick up enough yards with his feet to get the first down. They had plenty of time on the clock. They had 3 timeouts at that time. So, in my mind, a complete coaching failure by Nathaniel Hackett in that critical situation. The decision was wrong from the choice to go with the field goal, but also the thought process that went into it and not recognizing who you have as a quarterback in that situation and what that guy can do with the ball in his hands.
You know, to your point, to go back to what you said a little earlier about this is what we did in Green Bay, you know, if he would have been paying attention, he was there in Green Bay when they got shellacked week one with Jameis Winston and the New Orleans Saints. So that should have been something that taught him something about, you know, coming out flat and not getting reps in the preseason. But do you think, you know, I understand that after the game, Russell Wilson told the company line. But do you think that Russell Wilson needs to step into the office to be able to air all grievances and to give his side of it so that the relationship doesn't sour early in Denver?
Well, let's not forget, Russell Wilson has an office in the building. So he may call Nathaniel Hackett to his office. How about that power? How about that power dynamic? Russell Wilson has a team. He's got his own private quarterback coach who's in the building. He's got his own nutritionist who's in the building. He's got his own body guy who's in the building. So Russell Wilson and his team, I'm sure, will have some kind of conversations, whether it's with Coach Hackett or with George Payton, the GM. Those conversations will be had. Hey, you brought me here. In fact, I left my previous situation because the coach didn't give me what I wanted. Now I'm here, and the same thing is happening where I'm not getting what I wanted. So I have to imagine a conversation will definitely be happening.
I love it. He's got his own office. He might call you into that. That's great stuff. Chad Brown, again, co-host of Chad and Nate on 104.3, the Fan in Denver, three-time Pro Bowl linebacker. But also you can catch Chad as part of the broadcast crew for Big 12 on ESPN Plus this Saturday. Arkansas Pine Bluff takes on number 8 Oklahoma State. Coverage starting at 7 p.m. Eastern. Chad, great to chat with you, my man. Thanks so much.
A lot of fun, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that's good stuff there. I mean, imagine that. He's got his own office.
Yo, but that just lets you know. That lets you know that Russell Wilson hasn't changed a bit. That lets you know he hasn't changed a bit, because that's why Richard Sherman and Chandler, Cam Chancellor.
Separated himself.
And Earl Thomas, yeah, he separated himself. Like, he's above reproach. And that's why he took the company deal instead of the deal that he should have did for the quarterbacks, so things can be elevated. He kind of gave the Baltimore Ravens leverage against Lamar Jackson because of what he didn't take.
How about also the revelation that they did not full tackle in training camp?
That's ridiculous.
Like, you as a linebacker, how does that make you feel? Like,
that's ridiculous.
Does that now answer some questions about last night for you?
Yes, and for the running backs. That's why they was fumbling in pivotal situations, because they ain't been getting hit. They've been getting thudded up, wrapped up, and coddled.
Wow. 888-8.
Go ahead. We'll talk about when we come back. No, we'll talk about when we come back. I want to get to this red seat. I'm excited about it.
888-729-3776. We got your calls on Robert Saleh. What Peyton Manning thought of what the Jets did in the first game. And also some thoughts from a former Jet about what Robert Saleh said. Yeah, we got more to get to on this, and we've got to. I'm going to gang up on Bart on this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
Hi, it's Bart and Han. Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. It's September. Disney Plus is back in action. Exciting new premieres from Disney, Pixar, Star Wars, Marvel, National Geographic, The Simpsons. And this month only, you can get Disney Plus for just $1.99 for 1 month. Offer available now until September 19th. And then it's $7.99. per month. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. Andres just tweeted at me that he's taking my Jets fan card for a week.
Yeah, you're on probation.
Letting Andres know from my cold, dead hands.
You're on probation.
I mean, come on, man. Like I said, you win the Lombardi, you better give me a ring if that's how this is going to work.
We'll get you a pennant. Like they gave Jones-Drew. Jones-Drew, you will get one. Jones-Drew got one, and he don't play.
All right, let's see if it happens. Just curious again. Like, I like to listen to some of the experts on this stuff. Here's Peyton Manning and Eli talking about the Jets' first game as they were watching last night. Flacco throwing 59 passing attempts in your first game. Just let Peyton.
I hope they throw it 70 times tonight.
They will not throw it 70 times.
Well, the Jets threw it 59 times, and that worked out well for them yesterday. They look good.
Wow, shots fired early.
Throw it 59 times in the opener. You can't throw it 59 times in the opener. You can't do it.
With your backup quarterback? It's illegal?
You can't do it. It's guaranteed you're not going to win.
Yeah, first of all, listen, Flacco's qualified to be in this argument, in this debate, because he has a Super Bowl. They got one more to him. But come on, let's not talk about some of the games that Eli stuck it up and threw a million times. He got more he got more career interceptions than damn Joe Flacco. Like, and first of all, Peyton is the ultimate original heel. First of all, he decided to go back in college because he should have been a Jet, right? So he's been hating on us.
Oh, no, confirmed Jet hater.
And second of all, he the one who vouched for Adam Gase, who gave us those dark years. So we can care less what the hell Peyton Manning got to say, because he's been the original hater of us. He's a Manchurian candidate. He put one in there so we can sustain losing with Adam Gase calling Woody Johnson. He ain't called nobody for nobody else but to hate on us. So they tell him he can kick two rocks. Care what his old oversized headbutt has to say. Produce that, needed. Omaha Productions.
I think that's fair. I think Peyton is a confirmed. Keep a receipt on Peyton if you want to. That's
fine. He's a confirmed hater.
Keyshawn Johnson, a former Jet, though, had this to say about Robert Saleh and his whole receipts comments.
As a coach, why are you paying attention and listening to people that are paid, fans that pay to go to games, and people that are paid to talk about the games? If you go back a year ago, he was worried about what Rex Ryan said. Coach the damn team.
There's a certain adding up of information.
Stop worrying about what Rex Ryan is talking about. You're not him. Okay, I'm not you. I'm going to do it my way. Stop worrying about Max Kellerman, J. Will, Keyshawn talking about how the team doesn't look inspired.
Everyone worries about what.
I'm telling you, that's my feeling exactly, Bart. Like, that's all I care. It's not that I'm mad. I like you as a coach, but I just don't need to know that my coach is thinking about this. That's in the front of his mind.
I'm using that for as right.
Just coach the damn team.
Man, Keyshawn wrote a whole damn book. Don't nobody want to see this 50-year-old mature version of Keyshawn Johnson. Get the hell out of here. This dude was the most – he cut more receipts. Tom Brady got more receipts on everybody that whoever played in front of him. And he tells you guys whenever he do something, that's the reason why.
He's a player.
It don't matter.
Not a coach.
A coach is like a player. You don't think coaches take receipts?
And Tom Brady, by the way, again, has 9 championships.
Yeah.
He can do whatever the hell he wants.
Well, guess what? He started with 1.
I tell you what, it started pretty early in his career, and it kept going. He wasn't having receipts after the first one, that's for sure.
What about the people that was telling, Bill Belichick should be fired? Remember all those things when he was there before Drew Bledsoe got blessed in his sternum by Marvin Jones?
I never heard Bill Belichick ever say anything about receipts. All I heard was on Cincinnati.
Yeah,
I didn't hear anything about receipts.
Early on, he was very transparent when he first got to New England. It wasn't all sunshine and roses. They were, 3-5?
You have your side. I have my side. Let's see what the callers have to say about this. That's what I'm curious about. What do people think about all this? We go to Jersey. We talk to Bill. Go ahead, Bill.
What's going on, guys?
What's happening?
All right. So right now I'm just ecstatic over Saleh. Keep it up. I'm loving it. Everybody's sitting there criticizing him and stuff like that. What I do know is there's 53 players in that locker room right now that know they have a head coach that believes in them.
Really?
That know they have a head coach that's going to keep pushing for them. And that right there is how we change the culture. Real quick, just to make this a saying, everybody that I hear that's mad about the receipts thing, everybody's talking crap on the Jets. They're the same people that are talking crap on the Jets, and I kind of think you guys are just scared.
Scared?
Yeah, you scared, Allie. You scared, scared to be different. You just want to follow the flock. Take a real man and walk away from the flock. Stand alone. Stand away from Keyshawn.
You know what I'm scared
of?
I'm scared that once again they got it wrong at head coach. That's what I'm scared of. I'm scared that once again they got it wrong at quarterback.
Okay, that's what I'm scared of.
I'm scared that my coach has to instead focus on the media when he should be focusing on an offense that was inept.
I'm scared that they got it wrong. What you can't say is that game one, you already know that Garrett Wilson is a baller. What you can't be scared of is already you know that Elijah Moore is a baller. What you know is that Jermaine Johnson shows promise. What you know is the sauce. It's the truth. What you know is DJ Reed was a hell of a pickup. So when all these pieces come together and they start gelling, they had to get the foundation. You heard what he said. This was like an expansion team. They had to get rid of a lot of bad contracts, and now the building starts. This season is the most important season up to date because this is now the people who are going to be here. Bear Tucker's going to be here. Langton Thomas is going to be here. These guys are going to be here. This is the first time. Last year's roster, you knew 45% of them was trash, and they weren't even going to be here. Now these guys are going to stay. Now you're going to make small strategic additions and subtractions.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We've got more of your calls coming up. It's Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Oh, man, come on now. See, that's just trolling now. You're just trying to really piss me off today. And I like this song, but I can't enjoy it because
remember,
Mr. and Mrs. Met and his stupid plastic trumpets.
Well, guess what,
How'd that work out, Timmy?
Guess what, Alan? At the end of the day, we still in first place, and we going to the postseason regardless. Sweet. And guess what the Mets have done? We kept all the receipts from the haters over the years that thought it was
more
all
receipts.
A joke. We got the
receipts.
Everything's
a receipt.
Guess what? When all these haters come in, excuse me, can I get a ticket to the game, to the playoff game?
You have George Costanza's wallet with all those damn receipts in it.
Deny.
Back issues with all those
That's
receipts
what it is.
You keep.
Deny. For all the people that made fun of the Mets for over the years, now you got proper ownership.
Yeah, you're
now
up we a go game to the vault.
Now it don't matter.
Relax.
Who got more wins? Us or the Yankees?
So if you go
kiss the Yankees' ass all year, then kiss our ass too, because we got more than them.
Did I?
I think
because I believe I'm the one in May that started saying, "Here comes the anxiety," and everybody's like, "Oh, you're such a hater."
The anxiety's here.
Now it's a 5-game lead and feeling a little bit more comfortable.
You're the one to blame. You and Joey Gallo are the ones to blame for the whole demise because you put it out in the air. Words
Joey Gallo,
power.
You could take Joey Gallo and put him in a Jets hat and a Jets shirt, and that could be Adam Gase. You tell me I'm crazy. If you ever see Joey Gallo, like, just for a minute, like, just standing there, you're like, whoa. He's got, like, that same, like, crazy eye look.
Ah.
But it's working out for the Dodgers, isn't it? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I can't believe how many people are on your side on this conversation. Andre in Massachusetts, Andre.
Yeah, listen, I can't say that I'm with Bart on this. You know, when Robert Saleh is talking about, like, all of a sudden it's going to magically come together, like, whimsically, we're looking for some silver lining here. I'm looking at the stats, and Robert, you threw the ball 59 times, and yet Joe Flacco had a QBR of 15. When is this going to all of a sudden magically, mystically come together when your offense is so imbalanced, A, and B, looking at this schedule, what? We got the Browns in week two. We got
should
the Bengals.
Should be the Browns.
Steelers.
She'll beat the Steelers.
I'm seeing that those as two L's. Not going to beat the Steelers.
Nope.
Dolphins are resurging. Then you got the Packers.
Nope.
You got the Broncos.
Nope.
I'm looking at a possible first W against our team here in New England, the Patriots. So, Robert Saleh,
Hold on. They should beat the Browns.
They should beat the Browns. All right, so Bart's already said
yes, the Browns
beat
got
the Browns.
The Browns got a sitting duck.
Okay.
That barely beat Carolina.
More calls in 10 seconds. Stay with us.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. For a job you'll love, visit progressive.com/careers. I just want to be in one of the commercials. Those commercials are hilarious. Bart's just mad at me. He's not even reacting to anything I'm saying right now.
Nope.
So I'm going to set you up by taking some more calls.
Okay.
Like Ray in Staten Island. Ray, how we feeling?
Strong Island, stand up.
That's Staten Island.
Hey, what's going on?
A
long-time Jet fan. Hahn, you said it yesterday. Give me Ken O'Brien era at this point. Because since then, the offense is awful. And Saleh could talk all he wants. You know what? On his receipt, I would write, suck less. Because what happened on Sunday was terrible. It was painful to watch. And as a Jet fan, diehard, bleeding green Jet fan, I'm sick of watching an offense that is so bad, it makes our defense look worse. And it's like a never-ending story. I've seen this movie before. Fire Saleh now, because we're going to go 0-8. We'll win a couple of meaningless games later in the season that will ruin our draft. And we'll end up at, like, 4-13. And, you know, it's a rerun.
And you still don't know.
Wrong,
you still won't know about your quarterback.
Wrong.
I'm with Ray. It felt like last year just continued one more week. That's what it felt like. And once again, Zach Wilson's hurt.
Okay.
Once again, we still don't know about him. And it's the same excuses. The offensive line's got injuries. I'm supposed to keep waiting.
I saw a defense that held the most potent rushing attack
for a half.
The game to 63 yards.
Right.
Now you asked him, much like every game, you had some miscommunications on the back end and a hell of a play where Bryce Hall was right there in his pocket and he mossed him. Even when the ball hit his hand, he couldn't get it out. So you got two great plays that way. But by no means, like a defense that gave up a 100-yard rusher in every game held the greatest or the, one of the most potent rushing attacks to 63 yards. That's the place to build from. That's progress. Every one of those pass rushers. And you couldn't even go crazy on Lamar because you have to rush Lamar differently than any other quarterback. Watch how this D-line
I know what you're doing.
Watch how this D-line, watch how this D-line gets after Jacoby Brissett.
You are
distracting
me. Even
though they're going against a superior offensive line because the Cleveland Browns have one of the best offensive lines in the game. That three linebacker set with Kawhi Alexander and
you've got
and
a shiny
Mosley
object in one
great
side. You're going, but wait, focus on this defense. Look at all the things the defense did. Look at all the defense, the defense. And you're trying to distract me from what I saw offensively, which made me want to throw up before even halftime.
Who's better? The Ravens or the Dolphins? Who's ranked higher? The Ravens or the Dolphins in the rankings?
But the Dolphins are clunky.
Okay,
they're a dangerous team.
Okay, and then what the hell did the Patriots do? They scored 7. We scored 9. But everybody wanted – the sun is up. You think Bill's panicking? No. We shouldn't be panicking either. And I'm not saying Salah is him, but I tell you what, Mac Jones ain't Tom Brady.
Agree. Alex is in Tampa. Alex.
Hey, y'all. I just want to say thank you for your conference. I have just two comments about the Salah thing. I definitely understand where Han is coming from because as bad as a franchise the Jets are, he should be grateful that he has any chance at all. And then I also know that I agree with what Bart is saying, looking at it from being an athlete. I think he's basically saying, aside from keeping receipts, it's competitive. It's competitive nature.
Right,
and then,
Your second comment was amazing.
I think both comments were right on point. But I will say this. It's not that I don't understand that there's a part of Salah that is probably steaming at the fact that people are taking shots at his team. I get that. But
like
going public with it is a facepalm moment.
No.
Facepalm. And he's got to know better. And I promise you that your guys over there in Florham Park in the PR office are going like, Jesus. Now
it's either idiotic or brilliant. We don't know
until we see how the players respond.
But listen, to my point.
When Rex you guys were winning.
But to my point, Peyton Manning, this is Monday Night Football. This is about the Seattle Seahawks and the Denver Broncos.
Decides
to make the Jets the butt of a joke. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about. That has nothing to do with the game.
Fits.
The Jets had nothing to do with it. But now you just want to try and say, oh, did you hear? Peyton's so funny. You just hear the joke about the Jets? Hell no. Keep that receipt, Peyton, when your big old head falls off because your neck too weak. It's a little Frankenstein forehead.
But
how about
understand
that? Neckzilla.
But you get what you earn.
That's cool.
And they
have earned this for
a decade.
Yeah, but he's saying I ain't got nothing to do with that. I just got here. But if you want to put me in that category, that's fine. But remember that. I'm gonna remember that you said this about me, Peyton.
All right, let's
Omaha.
Get a few more in here before we call it a day. Dave is in Jersey. Come on, Dave.
Hey, good afternoon. I just wanted to say that I don't think his comments were directed at the fan base, other fans,
media.
Other teams.
That wasn't fans.
Also, I just wanted to say maybe, you know, everybody on the radio can push for these fans, for the fans to get more electric, more fired up, because this guy, I really believe he's going to do some changes. It's going to take maybe one or two more games, but I feel it.
I understand, Dave. Like I like Salah. Again, I liked him at the press conference. I think he's a really good human being. Like, there's so much to like about the guy. So don't get me wrong. I mean, I like Bart, but I'm going to rip into him at times. It's just the way it is.
You're a liar. You never like me, Alan.
You know I love you. But Salah, like, if I'm a PR person, I'd look at him going, Robert, what did you just do there? Why?
He just pushed attention
that you don't need right now, and the franchise doesn't need right now.
He just pushed the stop clock. He just pushed the clock. So now the clock is ticking on people trying to see if he's going to have to eat his words. Like, he could have kind of been humble pie, but now he just put the pressure on himself, and he put the pressure on his team. So whatever gets my team to perform the right way, just like you said, it's a lot of guys that have to mature fast. He just sped up the clock because he's tired of waiting too. So that's what
that part
did.
I understand.
He
that
just motivated the entire locker room. They probably got a picture of you, Peyton Manning, just like Major League. And every time they win a game, they're gonna pull off starting with your nipple. they're gonna reveal a new part of Allen Hahn every day, every win, every practice, every victory.
That wouldn't motivate anybody
until you're butt booty naked.
You
then
understand?
Then they gonna post a picture of you on Instagram.
The reason why there's this much vitriol. It's because people care. That's
so what?
Why.
Well, care right. Care the right way. Don't care like an a-hole.
Don't tell me how to fan. I don't tell you how to host.
You tell me how to coach.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.